Okay, we're still in lesson number 9 of our study guide, and we're talking about the mind of a servant, and we're really focusing on what Paul, as he was talking to the Ephesian elders, and trying to encourage them, and talking about the work that he had been doing among them. And so we're basically looking at that and some key words or ideas from what he says there and helping us to understand Paul and his mindset and his efforts in the work that's there. So last week we spent a good deal of our time talking about the mind of submission and the whole concept of servanthood versus slavery. And realizing that the word that Paul uses in that statement, when he says in verse 19, "I serve the Lord with tears," or "serve the Lord with great humility and with tears," the word there for "serve" is the word that literally means a slave. And we talked about the difference between being a servant and being a slave, being that when you're a servant, then generally you pick what you want to do, when you want to do it, and all of those kind of things. When you're a slave, you serve at the discretion and work of your master. You do what you're told to do. You don't have all those choices. And so Paul is basically looking at what he was doing with that frame of mind, saying he was a slave, not a servant picking and choosing where he wanted to serve, but as a slave doing what he was instructed to do by the Lord. So this morning, let's pick up in this mind of a servant and talk about under B on the inside next page at the top, the mind of compassion. Okay, he talks about, he says, again, verse 19, "I served the Lord with great humility and with tears." Okay, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. So the issue here is that idea of compassion. And the first question on here has to do with Paul's, and why did Paul serve with tears? What were the tears all about? Have you ever really considered that aspect of his service in that way? He says he served with tears. What does that mean? Why would he be serving with tears? Ray?
So emotionally uplifted. Within himself, he really had a lot of feeling.
Okay.
For others.
All right. Okay.
He was emotional to the point where he felt for everyone.
Okay. All right.
He wanted them to feel like he feels.
All right.
Or like he felt.
Okay.
Because I know as a Christian, you can feel emotionally, almost emotionally drained.
Okay.
Because you want people to feel their love and the concern you have for Jesus Christ, the loved one, and you just want everybody to know that.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. And it's basically, you know, with feeling and so forth. You think about the word compassion, what is the key component to that word itself? What does it really mean? Do what now? Okay. Well, you know, there's the whole idea of passion. Okay. What does that really mean in terms of, well, what Paul was doing, but think about it in terms of stuff that you do. Is there a difference between someone who does something, whether they're doing a job, they're doing some kind of recreation or what have you, is there a difference between someone who has compassion or passion for what they are doing versus a person who's just doing it? If so, what's the difference? Okay, yeah.
He was going to pour all out.
Okay.
But a guy that's doing it to get a paycheck, was just doing it long, so
okay.
You got to have that love for
him. All right, yeah.
And
you're going to only do what?
The minimum.
Just enough. I'm going to do just enough to get by, just enough to meet the minimum requirements, what have you. If all you're doing is just, I don't really want to do this, but, you know, hey, I'll do it. You know, if it makes you happy, I'll do it kind of thing. But when you've got passion for what you're doing, then you're going to go above and beyond. You put yourself in it. You've invested yourself in whatever it is you're doing. Okay? You guys know I like to play golf, and I am passionate about playing golf. I want to play the best that I can. I play in a league, and there's a lot of guys in there that it's just something for them to do. Okay, they don't have a whole lot of passion about it. They come out and play, and you know they don't play very good. It's like, and again, that's not work; it's recreation. But and that's why I'm telling you that, because it works in just about anything we do. If you've got a job to do and you're passionate about it, you're going to put yourself into it. You're going to invest yourself in it. If you're playing a game and you don't really care that much about it, if you don't have the passion for it, hey, you're not going to put yourself into it as much. So anything that we are doing, if we have passion for it, then passion, I think, leads to, especially when it involves other people, that leads to compassion, okay, or a concern for other people. All right, Lynette?
It also leads to believability.
Okay.
And success.
All right, sure. Especially if you're trying to encourage other people, right? I mean, you as a nurse, you go into somebody's room and you're just like, they can tell you don't really want to be there, then what does that say? I don't really care about you. But if you go in there and you've got compassion and they can see that and they can sense it, say, yeah, this person really does care about me. I'm not concerned about the care they're giving me because they're showing that they care. But if you go in there with then it's like, is this person giving me the best care? You know, and so again, it fits in anything, and especially in evangelism. Okay? Because again, believability, we're trying to share the gospel with people. Are we doing it with passion? And are we doing it in a way that shows them that we truly care about their soul? Or are we doing it just because, yeah, you know, well, we're supposed to go out and try to share the gospel with people. Whenever you do something simply because you have to, I'm convinced that we typically don't do quite as well. Because, again, we're going to do just enough to get by. But when we do things because we want to, right, then we're going to do whatever it is we're doing. We're going to go above and beyond. We're going to do the maximum. You see? And when we are interacting with people, that makes all the difference in the world. And here, so Paul, in expressing this, that he was with them and he served the Lord not only with humility but with tears. Okay? Paul had great compassion, you know, for Jews who were lost, who were not, you know, he was constantly running into opposition from the Jews, but yet he had a tremendous amount of compassion for them. He wanted his people to be saved. He also had a tremendous amount of compassion for the Gentiles, and just as much wanted them to be saved. And so I imagine that in a lot of Paul's struggles that he had in preaching the gospel, that he shed a lot of tears. Okay, a lot of sorrow in looking at people that you know they are lost, and you're trying to convince them, trying to help them to see the truth, but you can't get them to do that. And I know personally how frustrating that can be, though I've not really in any way, shape, or form, like Paul, faced the obstacles and persecution he has. I've had people that I desperately wanted to accept the gospel, but no matter what I said and did, they just wouldn't. And it's difficult to walk away from those folks knowing what their situation is, and that you can't convince them to change anything. Because you care about people and what, you know, you mostly about their soul. So what about Jesus? All right. Look over in Luke chapter 19, and let me get somebody to read for us verses 41 through 44. Luke 19. And let's talk about the compassion that Jesus had. Luke 19. And verse 41 through 44. Now, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. This is in the last week of his ministry before he's tried and crucified. And so that's kind of the atmosphere of the setting. All right. At this point, he's being praised and honored. Coming into the city, riding on a donkey and so forth. But in less than a week, many of these same people will be crying for him to be crucified. Okay? And here's, I think, the important thing to note about that is that Jesus knew that. Okay? He knew what was going to take place. But look at what it says. Let's get somebody... verse 41 through 44. Okay, so here Jesus is weeping over the whole city of Jerusalem. Okay, not the stones and the buildings and so forth, but what? People. Dale?
This is literally going to happen in about 30 years. Yeah. Afterwards, the Romans are going to come in and completely destroy the city.
Yeah. But you see, you know, he's weeping over, again, what he knows is going to happen. He's weeping for the very same people, many of which are going to be, as I said a few moments ago, are going to be less than a week, are going to be screaming and hollering for him to be crucified. He's weeping over those people.
The ironic thing is they wanted deliverance from the Romans.
Yeah. Wouldn't have happened, yeah.
They wouldn't have been delivered from the Romans.
Yeah.
In addition to him coming as a spiritual savior.
Yeah.
Literally saved the city as well.
Yep. So we see this compassion that Jesus has for the people. He wants them to accept him as a savior, knowing what is going to come upon them in the future because of their refusal to accept him, even though right at this moment they're praising him and, you know, so forth. He knows where their hearts really are. And he's weeping for them because they are lost. Okay, so let's get personal about this. All right, the next question on here, if we really care about someone, what will we do? How will we act? If we really care about someone, what are we going to do? How do you act and what do you do when it comes to someone that you really care about?
Well, if I really care about that person, and if I am in Christ, I call myself Christ, I'm going to share that good news with that person because I care that much about you that question being asked here.
Right, okay.
Because I love God that much. I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to
know what I
feel.
Okay.
I mean,
care
if you about God.
Okay.
Because that's my life. You care if you about all the things about your life. Some stuff they shouldn't even know, but you tell them anyway.
Right.
So, if I'm in compassion and how much I love God, I want to share that with you.
Okay.
I want to share it.
All right. Wes? Okay.
That I can't save.
All right.
You know, but if I have the opportunity, yes, you will do anything about it. But some people you try to kill. You talk to them about things, about God, about changing their life, and they don't want to hear it. And before, from the last week, from the last question, what do you feel? Fears that cause you. It's the fears of being rejected, being asked questions you can't answer at that given time, or losing your relationship with that person.
Okay.
It's things that hinder you from doing what you may have a possibility of doing, but if you just see the smoke come out of you.
Okay.
But if you see the feeling and stuff,
need to be having compassion enough that we share with folks before the flames bust out.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing you saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. What else? Let me ask you this. Think about it this way. What kinds of things do you in your life share with other people? What do you talk about with other people where generally you are excited about sharing that information with them? What kind of things do we do that with? Okay, yeah, I got a new car. Yeah, hey, come on, check out my new ride. Okay, do what? Yeah, hey, let me show you all my vacation pics, right? And they're going, oh no, I got something I got to do, right? What else? What else do we share with people? Okay, yeah, sometimes we share our aches and pains. Okay, what else? Do what? The birth of a baby, okay. What else do we share with folks? Okay, our kids' accomplishments. Okay. We get a new job, you know, whatever. Amy?
I share that I'm going back to the doctor.
Okay, all right. That's exciting, right? It's something you're looking forward to, okay? All right. Generally, we don't have a problem in sharing with other people, and sometimes even perfect strangers, right? You know, when something really exciting happens to us. When my daughter Katie was born, we were there in the, you know, in the delivery room, and, you know, she was born, and they take her, and they're getting all the particulars from her and everything. I went out in the hallway, and I grabbed this other fella waiting for his baby to be born. I said, I got a girl, and I was so excited, and I'm sharing everything with her about it. A perfect stranger. Okay? Because that's what we do. When we're excited about something especially, we want to share it with people. Watch your toes. What does that tell us about why we don't share the gospel with as many people as we do?
Maybe we're not
very excited. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we're not as excited about that. And all those fears we talked about last time that keep us from doing it. You know? Chuck? Yeah.
In Christ, you know, we know what it is. The world is like, well, that's good for you. You found a spiritual connection with something.
Right.
You found a road to go down, you know. We don't get the reaction most of the time.
Yeah.
Most people will don't care.
Exactly.
You know, we know it's the greatest gift ever given to man.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, it's good for you. And we get that in
kind of dulls the excitement a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, where's that man? You
say?
Would you tell anybody else after, you know, that Katie was being born?
Yeah.
I guess you would.
Well, you know, if you think about it, you know, aren't there risks in sharing ourselves with other people about anything in our lives? I mean, even if it's a good thing, you know, you share, you know, hey, I just got a new job, and they're going, I wish I could find one. You know, they may get upset with you. They may be jealous of your new car or, you know, or whatever. Or maybe you've got, you know, you're sharing in all of your excitement, you're sharing, you know, the fact that you've got a brand new baby to a couple who's childless and been trying to have a baby for a long time, and they're jealous. You know, there's all kinds of things and reactions that people can have, even to exciting news. And so, even with exciting things, there's a certain risk, isn't there? That someone may be jealous, they may get upset with us, they may, for whatever reason, they don't like our good news. Okay? Sometimes we don't realize the risk at all. We're just kind of oblivious to, and we think, you know, we're excited, so everybody else is going to be excited for us, right? And so, and the risks, really, with all of those things, there's risk out there, but I mean, in reality, isn't it really kind of minimal? The risk level when you're sharing all these exciting things, you know, about a new job or a new car or a new house or a new baby or whatever it is. There's risk, but that risk level is really kind of low. But when it comes to sharing about Jesus, the risk level is somewhat higher, isn't it? Okay. So in other words, it's not only that they might not share our excitement, they may not get as excited and be as joyful, they may stop talking to us. They may no longer be our friend. And yeah, they may, yeah, great, I don't care. Why are you bothering me with that? There's more risk in sharing that exciting news with people than, you know, whether or not, you know, the Green Bay Packers won again. Right, Wes? whatever it is, whatever that exciting news is that we've got, there's not as much risk with that, but with sharing Jesus, there's risk. And sometimes it's a higher risk. And sometimes that high risk keeps us from being compassionate about sharing the gospel with people because we evaluate the risk and say, we may not do it consciously, but subconsciously I think we evaluate and we go, yeah, this neighbor, I'd love to talk to him, but they may not talk to me anymore, and so we don't. Or this family member or what have you. Compassion, I'm convinced, helps us to overcome those fears and to be willing to take the risk. When we are truly compassionate for the souls of others, then we're willing to take the risk. Okay? And so compassion is a necessary ingredient for us to have to truly be willing to share the gospel with other people. Chuck?
Isn't that the rub? Why are we compassionate? Because we know that they need, we know mm-hmm. that they are broken. We're all broken, but we have Jesus.
Yeah.
When we share Christ with them, we're telling them that they're broken.
Yeah.
If not, why do they need it? I mean, the good news is, hey, Jesus can save you
right.
from your sin.
But see,
that's the good news.
Right.
You're a sinner, and Jesus can save you from your sins.
Right.
I'm a bad person. Oh, you know, that's what we're doing. That's where our compassion comes from, because we know that they're lost.
Well, and that therein is the real key to this, is looking at, you know, I think most of us would readily admit we know that they're lost, right? I mean, we know that these folks in our Jerusalem or Judea, Samaria, we know that they're lost. But the real question and issue is, how much do we care? How much compassion do we have for them, knowing that they're lost, that we're willing to take the risk to do what we need to, at least to tell them about the gospel? Whether they accept it or not is their choice, but do we care enough to share the gospel, knowing that, you know, they may persecute us because of that? But are we willing to do that? So you see, knowing that they're lost is one thing, but caring about whether they're lost or not is quite another, and we won't care unless we have compassion for the lost. So, you know, the next question on here is, how can we learn to really care more? You know, and I'm not sure that compassion is something that can necessarily be taught to people. You know, we can teach principles, but we can't teach people to have more compassion. I think that's something that they have to decide they want to do.
That's not the game.
Yeah.
That's you. You know, that's your time for the game.
Yeah. Because the other, I mean, yeah, you can give them information. You can teach them we need to have this, and that's information that they have, but it's got to come from inside.
But didn't Jesus change? I mean, his life taught us about compassion.
Yes, he was an example for us to be like him.
Because how we can have that compassion is to understand the compassion that he has in us.
Right. Yes. Oh, I agree with that. When I say it's not something we can teach in the sense of giving people more compassion, we can teach them the principles, but we can't make people more compassionate by giving them the information. People have to decide from their heart that, you know, that's what's important to them.
Because if it's not coming from inside, and you're doing something that's probably showing up, and you're just doing it just because.
Like we were talking about as we began. Yeah. Yeah.
God bless me with compassion. I also have to ask for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes we're dealing with difficult people. I got to pray. Lord, give me some compassion here. Because I'm not feeling it right now. So, yeah, we need to do that.
So, thinking and feeling and acting are all interrelated.
Yes. Right.
Thinking about if I were more compassionate, what would I be doing? And acting on it.
Right.
Even if we're not yet feeling, sometimes the feeling comes after the thinking and acting.
Right.
Sometimes it leads to it. I hate going running, but for a while I needed to, and so I started going running, and I started realizing I was disappointed on days when I couldn't for some reason.
Okay. Right.
And sometimes that can happen this way too. We can't give this to somebody else and make them more compassionate.
Right.
We can't make ourselves more compassionate by working on it, by thinking about others more.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, and that's, you know, the whole basis of this. We're teaching the concepts and the challenges here for us to be thinking about and, you know, searching, I need to be more compassionate and so forth. But again, it's something that we have to actually do, and we've got to do it, you know, here. Brother Paul Faulkner has one chapter in his book called Making Things Right When Things Go Wrong. That is titled, if I remember correctly, it's just jumped out of my head. Act Better Than You Feel. Okay, and the whole premise of that is that I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't feel like doing that right now, but I'm going to do it because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And when we do that, a lot of times, like you're saying, Dale, I don't want to go out and run, okay? I know I should, but if I go out and I start doing it, then eventually that will help me to feel it. And I think it's a good principle that, you know, sometimes starting out, I mean, how many times have you, you know, like, you know, my kids have been after me forever to clean my garage because they don't, as they have said, Dad, we don't want to have to deal with that when you're gone. That's real compassionate, isn't it? Okay, but they want me to clean out the garage and the basement. Well, I have started doing that several times, but I got to be honest with you, I'm not feeling it. Okay, I'm just not feeling it. I there are times when I get in there and I start working on one particular part, and it's like, okay, now I'm doing it, and I feel better, and I'm getting something done. I got this table cleaned off. You know, I did that last week. I went in there and I had this table that I got a bad habit when I'm working on things. When I get finished with it, I'm done. And so I put the tools and whatever else, I just set them there and I'll put them away later. And later comes much later. And it just piles up and piles up. So yeah, I cleaned off this table and it's like, I didn't want to do it. You know, I mean, really, it's a nice day. I'd rather be out playing golf, to be honest with you. I don't want to do this, but I did it. I made myself do it. And when I finished, I felt a whole lot better about it. I got a table cleaned off. Okay. Now, I still got a whole bunch of other stuff, but my point is sometimes, like Paul Faulkner says, sometimes you got to act better than you feel. You get in there and you make yourself do it, even though you don't really want to, and after, as you're doing it, you begin to feel better. And I think compassion can work the same way. I don't feel it right now, but I make myself get involved in this and people's lives or what have you, and as I'm doing it, I feel better about it. It really truly is about the feelings. If the feelings from the inside are not there, then there's no compassion. Okay, Chuck?
But don't wait for feelings to do what you're supposed
right.
to do, because, you know, pray for your enemies. You're not
yeah.
to start praying. You can't not pray from the heart. I mean, you can, but who's going to stand before God and lie to Him by praying something that you really, I mean, and as you pray,
yeah.
you will be real, and His Spirit will change your heart as you are doing it. You just can't wait for the feeling to do it.
Oh, exactly.
You never will.
Oh, yeah, exactly. If I waited for my feelings to kick in for me to clean my garage, my kids will be doing it. Okay? So, no, you can't. Well, that's the whole point is sometimes I got to act better than I feel. I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to start on it. And the feelings can come as I'm doing it.
The first step in faith is the most important, right?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely.
The first step.
Yeah.
Just move forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
When those feelings are not there, you have to ask.
Ask Him to give them to you. Yeah.
That.
Help me.
Because you would stay right there where you are, and that's when that's faith.
Yeah.
And you have to ask God to come in and change those. I can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm feeling mean towards somebody, so I don't feel like getting bothered with somebody, God, please change this feeling.
Yeah.
I have to ask. I can't do it that
way. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why He gives us His Spirit, because He knows we can't do it on our own. Okay? All right. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, the lesson here tells us Jesus spoke to those people because He cared. He cared because He saw them as they really were. And that's an important key here. Do we see people as they really are? Okay, that they are lost. Okay? If we see them in that way, then we will care. All right? If we really care, then we will, as it says here, then we'll speak. We'll talk to them. We'll share with them. And I think the biggest thing there is that if we really care, then that will help us to overcome whatever the obstacles, whatever the fears, whatever the risk is, that we're willing to take that risk because we're talking about somebody's soul here and we recognize what that really means. All right?
But people put up a lot of fronts to show
yeah.
themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's true, we don't have the mind of Christ where we're able to see and know what's on people's hearts. But, you know, I think maybe what we need to understand about it is that our job is not to convince people. Our job is to share the gospel with them. If we can convince them, fine. That's great. But we can't not do it because maybe they won't, you know, and we say, well, they're not going to accept the gospel. Well, we're missing the whole point. That's not our job anyway. Our job is to share it with them, make it available, and let them decide whether they want to accept it or not. And if they put up a front and they're, you know, then, okay, well, they don't really want to. That's their choice. Okay. But I think, you know, are we willing to at least try? That's the real issue. That's exactly right. Yeah, and that's why I say I think sometimes we need to make sure, do we really understand what our job is? You know, and you know, our job is not to go out and to convince everybody to obey the gospel. Our job is to go out and share it. You know, and hopefully as we're doing that, we'll get some people that will respond and accept it. But we can't look at it as my job is to go out and save everybody I talk to. Well, that's not your job. Your job is to share the gospel. And when we realize things like, you know, well, first of all, not everybody that Jesus preached to accepted him, and not everybody that Paul talked to accepted him. You know, and so people are going to reject it, but you just keep doing it because that's your job, is to share the gospel. You care about people, you have compassion for people's souls, you share the gospel with them, and then you let them make the choice. You see? But it starts with us having that kind of compassion, that we really care about people's souls. Enough to take the risk. All right, Chuck, finish us up. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, exactly. Okay, thank you all very much. We'll pick up here next week.